Welcome to the ultimate crowdsourced personal finance show. This is your Friday Roundup.
You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
And also getting a chance to do a little bit of translation for a kind of a UK path to FI. There's so much literature that's been written. I feel like those two are a little bit overlapped there. A little bit. But there's so much content that's been created. See, just go a different path. So much content that's been created here in the United States for pursuing and reaching financial independence, the tactics, the strategies, the investment vehicles, and the retirement vehicles. All those things have been, you know, kind of documented very, very extensively. And one of the things, one of the common themes I see from our audience, which increasingly is an international audience, 70% of what you say is universal, applicable to my entire life. I love it. But the 30% or such, I have to translate and I have trouble doing that. So, you know, periodically when possible, I would like to, especially for some of the larger countries that are out there where we have large audiences, to be able to bring an expert in and have them kind of help us with the translation. David helped us with that. And Brad, we'll get your feedback on that. But first of all, welcome back, man. You tackled the white whale in the vacation world, 20 days, one stretch. You've been gone from July 30th to the 20th of August. People say, oh, wow, he's not retired. I would say when you can take 20 days off when you want, what's the difference?
That is very, very true. Yeah, it's good to be back. It's kind of crazy, actually. We spent the last 3 weeks in Maui, and it was just a really wonderful family vacation. It was amazing, honestly. It was exactly what we had hoped for and planned for all this time. It was like living there. And I think that was actually what we were hoping for. So I think just like anything in life, you realize as you live it, what you're looking for. How can you be that 1% better next week, next month, or in this case, that next year? So for instance, last year we went to Scotland and England, and it was an amazing trip. You know, we were there again 3+ weeks. We moved around a lot. Every third or fourth day, some cases every second day, we were packing up and moving. And it didn't feel relaxing. It was wonderful. We got to see Scotland, but it didn't feel relaxing. So this year we said, all right, that is not what we're looking for. Let's test something else out, right? Jonathan, like we talk about experiment. This was an experiment with a trip of ours. So let's test this out. Let's stay in one spot. Let's just pseudo live in Maui for 3 weeks in one place. We'll unpack. We'll put our clothes in a dresser instead of just living out of a suitcase, right? We'll shop at the local, I was almost going to say food store.
You could have just said food store. Nobody would hold it against you.
I've been beaten down with this food store thing from Long Island so many times.
We're a non-judgmental show, man.
It's like the great unpack scandal of 2017, right?
Yes, for those who have been here with us since the beginning.
Yeah, you get the inside references. But anyway, we went to the local grocery stores and it was just like living there. And it was really great. Obviously, we did a lot of the tourist things. Naturally, we're not going to go there and just kind of live our lives and play Settlers of Catan 10 hours a day.
But you did play Settlers of Catan, clarify.
Easily 50+ times.
Your wife is amazing at that game. Can I just say, like, oh, well, that's a sidebar for another day. But wow, she's good at that.
Yeah, not only is Laura good, but the kids are good. I mean, Molly at one stretch, our 7-year-old, won 5 times in a row. She's playing at an adult level on any table in the world. So anyway, long story short, really great vacation. Super happy to be back. Very rested now and just feeling good.
Well, while you were gone, I had a baby.
You had a baby.
We had a baby. My wife and I welcomed a little baby girl into this world. Her name is Reese. She was 7 pounds, 14 ounces, 20 inches long. She's gorgeous, man.
Nice.
And that reference, how did I ever have time for like a 9 to 5, really starts to have some clarity when you're welcoming a second child into the world.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. Obviously, we were looking at our messages every single morning, Laura and I, like, is the baby coming today? Is the baby coming today? I was, you know, just thrilled to see that picture. So yeah, huge congratulations. I just met her a couple minutes ago and she's adorable.
She's and gorgeous.
Yeah, just obviously life will change. It's not a linear thing when you get the second baby in the house, but it's fun.
I think it's probably going to be a few years, Brad, before I will be able to take her with us on a family trip to Maui. But hopefully that's not your last time.
No, it's certainly not the last time, Jonathan. That's for sure. And that's what's funny about almost like the paradox of having all these options, right? Being financially independent and being able to do whatever you want with your life. I mean, we can travel anywhere and we can spend our time as we see fit. But Laura and I are already talking, is 2020 going to be another trip to Maui? It's going to be hard to pass up.
Nice. All right. So we'd like to go with you. And I mean, I know while you were there, you got to meet a bunch of people in the local groups.
Yeah. Oh, it was so cool. They welcomed us with open arms. I mean, we had a meetup at the Maui Brewing Company. And I think they said they're a pretty new group. They haven't really had any big meetups, but this was the biggest one by far. I think there were easily 20 people in the Maui Choose FI local group, right? And Angie and Karen and Marcy, they were just amazing to me, giving me all this information. Anytime I had a question, they just would send back thousands of words, literally, of information about like, oh, you should go on this hike and this is the exact entrance. It was just really neat. And then Kristen and Ryan actually did a Strong First kettlebell workout with me, which was awesome. She's a certified Strong First kettlebell instructor, I believe, and got to go to their house and hang out. And it was super, super cool, Jonathan.
Strong First kettlebell instructor.
Yeah. So if you've ever listened to the Pavel Satsulin episode of the Tim Ferriss podcast, which frankly, I've listened to probably 5 to 10 times in my life. It's one of the best podcast episodes I've ever listened to.
Wow.
It was funny. I was talking to this guy, Ryan, at the meetup, and he's like, oh yeah, my wife does kettlebells. I'm like, oh, is that by any chance Strong First? And he's like, how the heck do you know that? I'm like, well, I've listened to this one episode with Pavel 5 to 10 times. He's like, that is exactly what we do. And he's like, not only do we train this, but Kristen's an instructor and we do this 3 to 5 times a week in our garage. We'd love to have you. So come on over. And it was just really super, super cool. So
speaking of working out, I have a home gym that I built. And when we moved to this house, you know, I think one of the hardest parts of moving is like getting your stuff off the floor. So you don't really feel like you've moved in anywhere until your pictures are on the wall. And if you have a garage, which we do, your garage is not, everything's not just clustered in the middle of the garage. And those are, for someone that is not naturally an organized person, that is like, causes a lot of stress to see it all. I'll just get rid of it. It's just gone. But this past week, while you were, these past 20 days, while you were traveling the world, we had a baby and I cleaned the garage. And I got all the mats set out, got the barbells set out, the kettlebells, everything's set out, and we're back at it. So, nice. Yeah,
that's very cool. I did notice how clean the garage looked when I walked through it this morning. And I actually did have one other shout out. Actually, while I was there, it was this crazy coincidence that one of our local group members, this guy Quinn, he messaged me and said, my friend Ellen has this big YouTube channel. And she...
Oh, I saw that. It popped up on my feed. She had you on to talk about financial independence.
Yeah, it was crazy. They follow a financially independent life. And actually, she has this YouTube channel. It's most about intentional living and raising kids in Hawaii, living a vegan life. And I think they have like 700,000 subscribers. So I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And she was planning on doing an episode, a weekly episode on financial freedom. Quinn said to her, hey, Brad from Choose FI is going to be here. Let's get him involved. And it was just really, really cool to meet them. And the video turned out great. So we'll link that up in the show notes for sure. You never know who you're going to meet on travel. That's one of the cool things about traveling, right? It's like you just never know what experiences are coming. Like, we had some wacky stories that maybe we'll save for a B-roll outtake at some point here.
I don't think prime time's ready for this.
No. Breaking down in the middle of nowhere, like a Breaking Bad type scenario. Yeah, it doesn't make prime time, but yeah, it makes for some good stories. But you just never know. That really is the cool thing about traveling, is you never know who you're going to meet. You never know what life experience you're going to have. And I think that is one of the beauties of traveling, and why I love traveling the world and exploring new things and meeting new people and really showing the world to my daughters.
Awesome, man. And I think what you've crafted for yourself is a life where your most precious non-renewable resource, your time, you can dedicate to the people that are most precious in your life. And in your case, and many other people, it's your children, your family, your friends, your neighbors, maybe. I mean, your relatives. It's going to be unique to you, but it's pretty cool when you can actually allocate your time to those individuals. So I'm excited for you. I'm excited for us, what it means for us and our families. And it's pretty cool that we actually get along outside of this podcast, that we can do this stuff together.
Yeah.
Laura says we can go on vacation with them to Maui as long as we don't bring too much work with us. So we'll try to respect that. Okay, let's go ahead and switch gears here, man. And I want to get your takeaways on this episode with David Sawyer, author of the book Reset. We talked about it on this past week's Monday episode. There's two places that we're going to go. One is we've pre-recorded kind of a UK Path to Fi type segment. But before we do that, the first half, and really what we talked about on Monday, was this idea of resetting your life. And I think what became obvious to me is there's two different types of people that heard this episode. The individuals that say, well, duh, right? Yes, you need to know how to use computers. Yes, you need to know how to do, et cetera, et cetera. But then other individuals that just can't see the threads and feel like they're increasingly, their particular skill set is increasingly becoming irrelevant, and they're trapped to their lifestyle. So if anything breaks, they don't know what to do next. And so they carry with them, because of that realization, potentially low level, but I would say increasingly high levels of stress bordering on depression, because you just know the train's gonna hit the wall at some point. You don't know when, but you know it's coming. That's who this book was written for. And I think he achieved his goal. I think it provides a roadmap.
Yeah, he's certainly talking about digital skills, but he's also talking about a mindset. And I've got a couple quotes that I wanted to read here, talking about the digital skills and how this ties to financial independence. Even when you're safe in your job or you like it, he said, so being dependent on one salary or even two salaries is a risky place to be. The process I'm outlining in my book is all about learning a new set of skills to raise your profile, and those skills are digital skills. Learn those skills and you'll be much more valuable as a potential staffer to another employer. And in addition, you'll be much more valuable in your current job because they'll know they could lose you. I just thought that was awesome, right? Like, you are just a much more valuable person with skills. Take out the digital part. Sure, digital, it could be anything. We could insert any word before skill, but skills, that's the important part here. When you add value, when you're competent, when you exude that competence, right? A lot of this comes from how you carry yourself in the world. If you walk around with your head down thinking you're going to get fired all the time because, oh, something bad is coming, there's some they who's going to put some impact on your life. Well, bad things probably might happen to you. It's not inconceivable. But when you walk around, it's almost like the Office Space thing we're talking about here, which we always joke about that old movie, Office Space. When you walk around with this level of confidence that simply nobody else has in life, people respect you. And it has to come from this place of knowing yourself and knowing that you do have skills, you are adding value, and frankly, they're lucky to have you, right? You could find another job. You're not beholden to them. So it doesn't mean you're walking around like a jerk or a prima donna. That's not what I'm espousing here at all. I'm just saying, walk around with the confidence of knowing that not only do you have skills, but because you've been following the path to financial independence, you have money in the bank. Your life is not going to fall apart after 90 days if you decided to, you know what? I don't want to work in this job anymore. Ultimately, you have options.
I haven't prepared enough to really crush, this next, if I wanted to explore the segment as much as I really want to, like, my heart is here. I haven't had enough time just with everything that's going on to prepare as much as I would like to. But I think there's something to be said for that individual that is feeling stuck, start to map it, like just to plant some seeds. I think ultimately any road to self-discovery, any road to growth starts with you being willing to ask a question. And I don't know exactly what that question is, but it doesn't hurt to ask one and then iterate it. What I was thinking, like, I'm working with an individual right now. She's a friend, and she is very competent in her field as a manager, but does not have the digital skills that we were referencing earlier, and things that I take for granted, like Command C, Command V, switching tabs, being able to set up a Google Doc, share a Google calendar, things that David was talking about. I met her for coffee last week, and I was just trying to catch up to speed. Like, how do you connect another email to your Gmail so you can have everything together? How do you use something like a LastPass manager so that you don't have to carry around a binder with you with 1,000 passwords in it, or just reuse that one password, ABC123? Oh, nobody listen. Don't strike that. You know, like the things that I think I take for granted, maybe as a millennial and maybe Generation Z even more, someone in their 30s or 40s that hasn't made that switch, it is a little bit harder. And so when there's so many things you can learn or could learn where to start, I find myself teaching these same things or wanting to teach these same things over and over. And here's how you set up a Gmail account. Now, maybe there's individuals that don't want Gmail account. I think that everybody at this point, you should just give up, get a Gmail account. That's my personal bias. But my mom still has an AOL account. At least she doesn't pay for it. There are individuals out there paying for AOL accounts. You know, get a Gmail account, learn how to set up a Google calendar, learn how to use the cloud and be able to store your documents, learn how to not have to look at passwords on a sheet of paper. I mean, that is not more secure because you have written it down on a notebook somewhere. You know, come up with another system. Really thinking through these individual steps, then learn how to market and brand yourself and be able to identify what your skills are and what skills you would need to get the job that you want, because you can learn those. And I think that's one of the things that I'd like to do in the coming years is kind of map out. I mean, there's an unlimited number of personal situations, but I think there's an 80-20 that if you can get yourself onto this on-ramp for personal growth, you can get yourself to a better place. You can get yourself a job that pays more than the minimum wage or $15 an hour, $20 an hour. You can get a job if you start asking these types of questions. Now, if you start developing the skills that are in demand, you can get a job that pays multiples of whatever it is that you're making now. It's possible. I'm not even going to say that it's going to be easy or that it's going to be simple. I'm not going to throw any of those terms out there, but it can be done. It's possible. And I think that in some varying degree, it's predictable if you become a more useful person with more useful skills. I would like to dedicate some resources and some episodes to that over the next year. Maybe we can find individuals that help us figure out who are these individuals? Like, what is the situation that they find themselves in, that they find stuck? Find someone that is maybe two or three steps ahead of that, that figured out how to get out of that rut, what it is that they did, and then bring that back and see if there's a way that you can inspire others with that information. I think it's going to be valuable.
Yeah, I think that's cool. And just kind of talking about specific actionable items, right? That's what we're all about here at Chooseify. You mentioned 80-20. So while you were talking, I'm thinking of what are the handful of things? And I came up with four that really have changed the game for me, not only in my professional life, but really probably more so in my personal life. So if you don't mind, Jonathan, I'm going to talk about these four real quick. And I'd love to
hear. Didn't know that was coming, but yes,
no.
Super excited.
No. Yeah. So I think in my professional life, the biggest one is Microsoft Excel. If you know Excel, and if you really know it, and I'm not at this level where I'm a master with pivot tables and all this kind of stuff, but if you just know the rudimentary aspects of Excel and you can do significant formulas, you can make them look nice, honestly, you can present data in an efficient manner. People need that. I know we actually, in my old accounting firm, we actually hired somebody to help us redo this behemoth of a spreadsheet that we had. And I mean, I forget what the guy got paid, but it was something on the tune of $100 an hour. That was $100 an hour because he knew Excel and the database software Access. That was it. And it was this incredible job for him, right? I mean, we needed it. It was huge for us. And this guy was just a local guy. He wasn't from some national firm. He was just a local guy that we Googled. He got paid, again, I'm not sure precisely, but it was somewhere around $100 an hour. So I know for me personally, just knowing Excel, I've created all the financial statements for my little small businesses in Excel. I don't use QuickBooks personally. I just use these Excel documents and I love them. I think they're really, really convenient. So again, for me, Excel is without question the number one. And I guess personally, we've talked about these a few times, so I won't go into them at length. But the three game changers for me have been Google Calendar and using a shared Google Calendar with my wife. As simple as this probably seems to many of you, it's one of those kind of aha moments for me and Laura that we know now what's going on in our lives. And, you know, especially with ChooseFI and all the things we have going on with this, it helps her to see at a glance, oh, Brad's busy that day. Let's not schedule X, Y, and Z. Something like that has been a game changer. Todoist, obviously, I've mentioned probably 500 times on the podcast.
We're still working on 500, Brad. Now, last time I counted, you were at 396. Yeah. You'll get there. They'll give you your plaque once you make it to 500.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So, I mean, Todoist has changed everything for me. I have all of my life tasks, everything that's recurring in my life in Todoist. It's not in my brain anymore. I don't need to remember. It's in Todoist. And then the third one is LastPass, as Jonathan just mentioned. I don't need to reuse the same pathetic password anymore. I don't need to write them down. They're just in LastPass and everything's there. So,
What was the old pathetic password?
Oh.
No, you probably still use it somewhere. Yeah, this is my litmus test.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
We were so close. All right. I would add on to that, but just because you said Google Calendar, it's important to point out, and this is kind of why I said Gmail, having a Gmail account is what gets you access to all of those. So a Gmail account as well is an important thing. And then managing your contacts in one place and being able to set up a Google Drive. So you said Google Calendar, but being able to share files with individuals, you know, it's great to have Excel, but honestly, a lot of this stuff is team-based now. It's a collaborative process. If you are someone that can organize people and get people to work on a project or a task together, that is kind of this next level. So first is learning how to use them for yourself. Second is learning how to get other people to collaborate on whatever it is that you're working on, because that is a very marketable thing. That's something that you can talk about in a resume, in an interview. You know, it's just your ability to actually organize and move a project, a team-based project forward. And notice that all of that stuff, if you learn that skill, that can be done remotely. So increasingly, as you get this skill set, you know, one of the benefits that we talk about of being, I guess you could say early retired, but specifically, you know, financially independent, where you've designed a life that you can get excited about, is probably a piece of that is going to be location independence, which is why I think that when you hear the word gig economy thrown out there, kind of has a negative connotation to it. And Nick True was talking about this a couple episodes back, where it's change, and change is sometimes scary, but it's coming either way. So how you react to that change is really going to be more important than whether or not the change happens. And if you have been able to craft a life for yourself where you have location independence, you have time flexibility, time freedom, you can take that, you know, 20-day vacation when you want to take it. There's a lot of benefits there. And so these skill sets that you just mentioned that I'm talking about, they free you from having to check in for a 9-to-5, right? They give you a lot of that. So it's certainly, you know, building this digital skill set is important. And I would say that even for the individual that isn't going to be like tech savvy, is going to go maybe a different route, is going to use maybe hands-on skills. I mean, you are kind of making the point, and I think it's valid, that it doesn't need to be digital skills that you're a master of, but it doesn't mean that you should ignore it. Because even with the, let's just use trades as an alternative to this, because it's probably the polar opposite, right? Your ability to handle these things is probably more rare on the trade side of things. So your value will be elevated even further. If you can bring a little bit of these types of digital skills to trade work, it is going to set you so far apart on that spectrum that it's going to be unreal. And again, trades are another area where you're going to easily make above the median income if you learn that skill set. So it's kind of, again, this goes to talent stacking, right? This is what I look at. You have these disparate skills that it's hard to see the connections, but if you make enough of them, you start to see the threads that other people aren't making. And while it's hard to connect the dots ahead of time, you look back 5 years from now, you look back down the road and you say, oh, I see how that, learning that and that, and how I was able to put something together, craft this life for myself. And I don't understand why anybody else isn't doing it, because they weren't connecting these disparate dots. Connect the dots. Okay. Well, what do you think, Brad? Should we go ahead and tee up David to introduce to us the UK path to financial independence?
Yeah, let's do it.
David, thank you so much for joining us back on the show today. You know, the reason that I wanted to do this is we actually have a fairly significant audience in the UK. And one of the themes that I see is, hey guys, I love your podcast. I love that you talk about mindset. I love that you talk about tactics. Most of it is something that I can immediately take action on. But I get stuck when you start talking about 401k and Roth and tax advantage strategies. Like, I just can't use that. And one of the things that struck me when I was reading this book is you described this painstaking process to translate that exact information because you couldn't find it.
Absolutely. So I was reading hundreds of US blogs and reading all the books. Then, for instance, in The Simple Path to Wealth, when I got to the chapter on 401ks and that sort of thing, you know, I just had to skip, you know, life insurance, healthcare, power of attorney, what funds to invest in. I mean, that was the key. So yeah, I had to translate all of that myself. And that was what was holding me back, I guess, from really resetting in a financial independence sense.
I wanted to ask specifically about investing in funds. I know many of us here in the US, we buy total stock market index funds, and we make the argument that many of these US multinationals have significant international reach. So therefore, we don't necessarily need to buy international funds, et cetera. Do you find people making the same argument in the UK? Is it total stock market index fund for the UK? Or like, what type of funds did you eventually hit on?
No, you'll find the opposite from people in the know in the UK. The UK ethos is investing in an all-world fund. So if you take it down to its easiest level, and if someone reading Reset wanted to do this, you'd get absolutely no argument from me. The fund I would recommend is the Vanguard Life Strategy 100 until you retire, at which point switch to the same fund, but the 80 version. The UK market is only like 6% of the world market, but the Vanguard Life Strategy Fund has an overweighting, if you like, of 25% to the UK market, which slightly guards against things like currency risk. So the portfolio I'm suggesting, mainly because I feel it's interesting, you learn more about the stock market if you have a basket of funds, if you like, that sort of mimics that. And in addition, I can tilt as well to small cap and value stocks. So I recommend a portfolio, well, a core portfolio, if you like. You have six funds, which breaks down as 25% UK, 45% US, 13% Europe ex-UK, Japan 7%, emerging markets 7%, Pacific ex-Japan 3%. But if you really want to get into it, add in a small cap fund at 5% and a value fund. This is a world small cap and a world value fund at 5%, and slightly reduce your quotients of the percentage allocations I've just mentioned. So my core portfolio is a six fund portfolio of index trackers. And if you want to go for the tilt, add in a further two funds, one of which is an ETF rather than a pure index fund.
So someone heard that and that just all went straight over their head. And they're wondering how to, like, practically speaking, what are my action steps? Are there like resources, you know, Reset? Obviously, some of this is documented inside the book Reset. Yeah. Are there articles or resources that kind of like make this a little bit more of a roadmap? Like, where would someone start if currently their idea of investing is just their friend gave them a hot tip on a single stock, or maybe they had a friend who was an advisor who got them in some, maybe in over their head with something that has some ridiculous fees. They're trying to unwind it and they're trying to incorporate maybe a simpler, simple strategy that includes more index funds with a focus on low expense ratios. Where does someone like start their own translation journey?
Right. So the Reset is, half of it is about financial independence core, I think you've just mentioned, from page 119. And it talks about financial independence as a whole, but also giving you action steps as well. It makes the case eventually for index investing, but then it absolutely doesn't leave you hanging. It gives you a 10-point investing plan, and it's aimed at people who haven't got a clue about investing, wouldn't know where to start. And if you follow these steps, you know, you'll have a good balanced portfolio that sets you up for the rest of your life.
So David, just to be clear, you mentioned Vanguard. So I assume that people in the UK can invest in Vanguard. I know we talk about Fidelity and Schwab. Do you have the ability to open up accounts there as well? Like, where do you recommend?
Absolutely. I recommend Fidelity and Vanguard. Vanguard only opened up to retail investors, i.e. normal people, in the UK last year. But you can only invest currently in ISAs, and that's individual savings accounts in the UK. You can't invest in SIPs, which are self-invested personal pensions. Now, most people will want to be investing within these tax-advantaged wrappers in the UK. So I would suggest going with Fidelity and investing through Fidelity in the funds recommended in Reset, and investing in your ISAs and your SIPs. And then when Vanguard open up their SIP platform, which should be later this year, personally, I would recommend switching all of that over to Vanguard. Now, with Vanguard, you can only invest in Vanguard funds, but considering I'm a great proponent of Vanguard funds, yeah, I don't see that as a bad thing. Fidelity, you've got much more fund choice. You can invest in all Fidelity funds, all sorts of other providers, and shares, God forbid. The reason I'm suggesting that is because Vanguard is cheaper than Fidelity. Depending on your portfolio, you're saving, I don't know, anything between 0.10 and 0.2%, which over time, especially on a SIP, on a pension, is going to be quite significant.
The other point I wanted to cover is a tax advantage strategy. So maxing out your tax advantage vehicles. And I think this is the kind of a point of contention for people that are trying to translate this. You guys are talking about when to use 401ks and HSAs and Roth IRAs, and like, that doesn't help me. So with the vehicles that I have available to me, what is the, you know, financial independence strategy for someone that is trying to take advantage of these tax advantage vehicles? Is there an obvious play here?
Yeah, it depends if you need access to your money. So in the UK, you can invest in all sorts of things, but the main things, main tax advantaged accounts would be ISAs and SIPs. So with an ISA, you can invest up to, and there are all sorts of different ISAs, but assuming it's a stocks and shares ISA, you can invest up to 20 grand, which is plenty for most people, but you don't get tax relief. With a SIP, which is a self-invested personal pension, you can invest up to 40 grand as long as you earn, you know, that amount or more. And it depends on the tax relief that you get, whether you're a basic rate taxpayer or a higher rate taxpayer. So you get tax relief from the government. So SIPs for ordinary people or paying into a defined contribution scheme, and that's your workplace pension, which is going to be for most people their main pension vehicle. You know, SIPs are a good vehicle. However, if you need access to your money, obviously don't put it in a pension, put it in an ISA.
Okay, so that's the big distinction, because it sounds to my ears that SIPs would make more sense, right? There's a significantly higher limit, and there might be some tax relief, but you're saying with the ISA, you could potentially access the money significantly sooner. So that is the big distinction that someone has to consider?
You can get at the money anytime.
Anytime.
In an ISA. Okay. With a pension, it depends when you were born, but you can get at the pension when you're 55, or if you were born after 1972, 57. And you can take, this is in the UK, not the rest of Europe, you can take 25% of that tax-free. So pensions in the UK went through a lot of reforms in 2015, which I mention in the book.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that, because you're saying that was all positive for the investor.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. But the thing that was revelatory for me was you used to have to, because they want, you know, the government wanted to protect you, didn't want you having access and the freedom to do what you wanted with your money because you might blow it on a sports car or whatever. I think that was the thinking. You had to purchase an annuity, which gave you an income for life. And that could, you know, you still get annuities, and that can work very well if you're going to live to the ripe old age of 100. But say you've not made the best life choices, or you've been unlucky, or whatever, and your life expectancy isn't that huge. It's, you know, it's not great. So it really made, in my mind, your money your own and gave control to you of your retirement planning. So I think it was a huge suite of reforms that the Chancellor brought in back then, and it's really changed the game for people in the UK planning for their retirement.
One of the things I'd like to do, David, since you've been willing to be so generous with your time, is just walk through a case study of how this might look just for an average, you know, couple or even an individual. And I know you did so many awesome case studies in your book. I was just wondering if you could like extract one for us and see if we could just kind of add some flavor to this UK Path to FI, what it might look like for an individual.
Yeah. So the Agarwals, who are both aged 50, their current stash, to borrow a term, is 200 grand. They're managing to save 2 grand a month, including the government top up on their pensions. And they're doing that intentionally with a view to retirement, early retirement. By early retirement, I'm talking sometime before the age of 65, which I know isn't everyone's definition of early retirement. So Patricia,
what is normal retirement in the UK, like 80?
Well, funnily enough, I heard this on one of your shows, actually. I think it's pretty much the same in the US by the sounds of it. But, you know, most people work until they're in their 60s. And most people rely on their state pension. And most people at this stage in life, in their 40s, have very little in their pension scheme and very little idea of, you know, well, they know they're going to retire and they'd love to retire early, but they just don't have a plan for it. And without getting a plan and keeping on their spending levels and not saving and not investing, they are going to be retiring when they're 65 or 67, which is the state pension age now.
All right. So let's look at early retirement in the UK then.
has to be said, most people in the FIRE community would not be looking at pre-67 as early retirement. I think it'd be 50s at the latest. But anyway, Patricia and Sunil, they had their two kids, Joe and Sky, early. The kids have left home now. These two 50-year-olds have reevaluated their lives and they've got a bit more, obviously a lot more, kids haven't flown the coop, disposable income. So they're both working full-time and they're trying to make up for lost time. Sunil has quit his job and he's set up on his own and they've committed to saving this £2,000 a month for the rest of their lives. Now, it'll take the Agarwals 13 years to achieve financial independence if their target, which is the target I use throughout the book, is £855,000, which at a safe withdrawal rate of 3.5%, which is the one I'm recommending for UK investors, means they'll have about 28 and a half grand after tax to spend every year in their retirement, which is a comfortable, should get them a comfortable lifestyle.
Is that, so, I guess that would be a follow-up question. Like, is that number, is that a comfortable retirement? 28,000, kids are out of the coop. Like, does that give you a middle-class lifestyle inside the UK?
It does. In the UK, there are two excellent resources for normal people wanting to find out more about their finances, amongst other things. One is Money Saving Expert, and that's sort of fronted by a guy called Martin Lewis, who's done more for financial literacy than anyone ever in the UK, I would suggest. And the other one is Which Magazine, which is a consumer magazine. It's the UK's consumer magazine. So Which did a study of their members. It's 2,000 and then 6,000. And they surveyed what would be a comfortable lifestyle and what would be a luxury lifestyle. And this was last year. So they found that a luxury lifestyle would be 39 grand and a comfortable lifestyle would be 26 grand. So 28, 29 grand, depending on where you live in the UK. And if you're living in London, it's obviously going to cost you more. That should get you a good lifestyle, including one or two foreign holidays and things like that. A luxury lifestyle, you maybe get a yacht club membership, long haul holidays, that sort of thing. A few more bells and whistles.
So someone wants the luxury lifestyle, Fat Fire. Like what is the, you know, if 855 gives you the comfortable lifestyle, what dollar amount or what amount would you, do you have in mind for that kind of luxury lifestyle?
Oh, God knows. I'd have to.
There's no upper limit. You can have as much as you want.
I think if you times, let's just get the big button calculator out.
Yeah, just sorry. Bear with me. Just 38 times 25, it's right?
39,000 times 28.5 equals 1,111,000 as opposed to 855,000. But of course, as you know, these figures are, you have to have a figure, absolutely. And you have to be comfortable with your own safe withdrawal rate. But if the economy crashes, you can always get a job. There's so much flexibility. You could downsize your house, all sorts of things. So yes, you need to work to a figure. But if your mindset changes and you really embrace the concept of FIRE, you'll be a different person. You'll be more flexible and you'll be all on top of things like, you know, sequence of returns, risk and all that jazz that you need to be as you're coming up and in the early years of retirement. So, have your figure, but it's not the be all and end all.
And what comes to mind is, well, the U.S. Tax system can probably sound like the wild, wild west to someone across the pond. You guys do have some other advantages built in. Like, for instance, like healthcare is not a line item on your budget. You also have some additional opportunities baked in when it comes to side hustles. I believe you have basically some tax advantages built in if you decide to do something like Airbnb or maybe just rent out a room, basically, to simplify it down. Isn't there some provision in your tax code where you can get up to, I believe, like $7,000 completely tax-free when you rent out a room?
There certainly is. All covered in Reset. Also, if you, for instance, bought a house, did it up for a year, and sold it again, and made, I don't know, $50,000, $100,000, you wouldn't pay any tax, any capital gains tax on that. So, I mean, that's pretty good. I don't know if that's the same in the US, but that's a pretty good hack that I know quite a few people have done in the UK. Yes, there's a lot of pain for that year or two when you're doing that house up. Maybe you've got the house and you got the payment of the rental of the other house, or you're living in the house in the midst of all this detritus. But, you know, go through that pain and come out the other side and you've got like 50, 100 grand in the bank. That's not bad, is it?
Absolutely. David, to our audience in the UK, they want to find more information. They want to basically, you went on this multi-year journey to translate this information. What resources did you find the most valuable and what would you want to point toward people towards?
Right. First of all, US sources, because I think that's really important. It's a lot of the great work is going on in the US. So the bloggers that I most connected with were Mr. Money Mustache, Physician on Fire, Mad Fiantist, Budgets Are Sexy, J Money, and Millennial Revolution. I really like their writing style. Podcasts, I really liked Freakonomics and Tim Ferriss, not strictly Financial Independence, but neither's Ryan Holiday, really, but he pops up on the Plane with Fire trailer, which made me laugh, actually, how someone else had seen the connection between what Holiday does and FIRE. And then the books. The books are fantastic. So I did like Rich Dad, a well-told story. Simple Path to Wealth was fantastic. Millionaire Next Door, excellent. I loved Jacob Lundfisker's Early Retirement Extreme. And then Your Money or Your Life, obviously. That's especially the concept of life energy. So that was what I did first. I looked at all them and more. And then I translated US Fire to UK Fire in a sense with Munavator, but I purposefully didn't read any other UK bloggers whilst I was doing the book in the financial independence community, because I wanted to create something original. And if I was reading all this great stuff done in the UK, by the way, I didn't even know it existed, but I would have been swayed by what they were thinking and I wouldn't have come up with an original work, if you like. Anyway, post publication, the ones I'd recommend bloggers are, in addition to Munavator, The Escape Artist, Indeedably, Young Fi Guy, a guy who styles himself as Ermin, Simple Living in Somerset, very good. Ken at the Humble Penny. And I also like, on the more pure personal finance, Pete Matthew. Books, well, I don't know of any, because as far as I know, and I think there may be one, you know, in the dim and distant past, but certainly mine is the first book to translate the US fire movement to a UK context. But I think it may be the first UK book on fire too. And then to fill in the gaps, as I mentioned, Witch and Money Saving Experts, Martin Lewis. Yeah, so they'd be how I would piece together fire in the UK. But also, just to finish up, get involved in some of the Facebook forums that, again, I didn't know existed. So there's some Choose FI ones, but there's also Financial Independence London, which is probably most active one. And I've got to know a few people through that. And if you've got a question, you know, whether you're a newbie or an expert, you can just fire in there and it's quite an active forum and you'll, you know, you'll get the answer to your question back quite quickly. Very encouraging community.
Nice. And I know when I went to London last summer, I actually met up, I think we had about 100 people at least show up to a Choose FI meetup. Yeah, it was really an amazing community.
Yeah. Barney at The Escape Artist and Ken at The Humble Penny seemed to sort of be a catalyst for gathering people together in London, but it's less connected once you go out of London, I would say.
Well, Brad, again, to David, he was so generous with his time. I mean, I know that episode, when we recorded it, we finished what we wanted to cover. And then we asked him, can you hang out for another 30, 40 minutes to help us, you know, with this? Just because we know that this, I see it. We have local groups in the UK. I see this, you know, I love the show, love the podcast, but I'm struggling with the translation. I just wanted to kind of slow down on this since we have the luxury of this Friday roundup and just put a few of these ideas back into the universe. And I think he did a great job, at least broaching the conversation.
Yeah. And Jonathan, I just wanted to give a shout out here to David's book again. It's called Reset. And we did set up a short link. It's choosefi.com/reset.
Let me look at your laptop, Brad. I'm pretty sure the entire title is a little bit longer than that. David said he just didn't want to use, he wanted to make sure he used enough words. So the full title is Reset: How to Restart Your Life and Get FU Money, the Unconventional Early Retirement Plan for Midlife Careerists Who Want to Be Happy. That could win an award for the longest title I have ever heard, but the book's good, man.
It's real good.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and switch gears here. And I want to bring MK back into the conversation. We introduced her back to the community. She's coming on the show to be our showrunner and head of our publishing, Choose FI Publishing. We actually interviewed her, I believe it was in episode 85 of our podcast, the title of the episode, From Passion to Profit. Her and her husband followed the tenets of financial independence to reach financial independence at a ridiculously young age. She has left her corporate career and she enjoyed about 2 weeks of vacation. And then we just asked her if she could come join us here. So we're super excited to have her. And already I'm seeing together the content that she's put together. She's helping us put together these shows. I'm really excited for what this fall is going to bring.
Yeah, same here. And MK, welcome back. What's going on in your world?
Hey guys, thanks for having me back. It's been an exciting summer down here in Florida. So we're getting settled into our new place. I'm working on reading and writing all kinds of books. So my nerd dreams are coming true. Today, instead of bringing you one win, I have a voicemail from Elizabeth. So she called in to share a whole bunch of wins and changes that she's made to her life in the past year since she started listening to the podcast.
Hi, Brad and Jonathan. This is Elizabeth, and I'm calling you on my 40th birthday. I found Choose FI about a year ago, so I wanted to let you know what's happened in that year because of what I've learned through your podcast. First off, tax-deferred retirement accounts. Total game changer. My husband's a state employee, and we had no idea about the 457 plan. We maxed that out in 2018, and then he turned 50 this year, so we maxed it out for 2019 with $25,000. We also maxed out our HSA and invested that. And because I'm self-employed, I called the wealthy accountant and got his help designating my business as an S-corp so that I could start a solo 401k and contribute to that as an employee and as an employer. When you add all of that up, including my husband's 403b contributions, this year we're investing $70,000 pre-tax, which is almost half our income. One reason we could do that is we cut costs across several categories, including switching to a lower cost cell phone carrier and insurance provider. We also hacked our travel budget down to almost zero with rewards cards. We're now on a plan to reach FI in 8 years, which lines up perfectly with our daughter's graduation from high school and the point at which my husband's eligible for retirement status with his employer. There's no pension, but what that status means is we can stay on the healthcare plan if we take over the full cost. I'm really hoping there will be a better option by then, but at least we know we have one way to handle it. Now, the best part, community. First, we got to meet Mr. 1500 and his family last winter after I connected with him in the Facebook group. And he was gracious enough to let me write a guest post for his blog if you want to read about that. I also met two really cool women in the group that I've talked with on the phone, and I found one other person in my city and met up with her for coffee. Those conversations were so fun that I decided to go all in and join the UK Chautauqua this year. And it was amazing. I can't even get into how awesome it was, but if you want to hear more, I wrote a guest post on that for JL Collins. Crazy thing is, it wasn't even 2 months ago, and I've already gotten together with four people from the trip. It's really true what they say. I feel like everyone there became a really good friend almost instantly. So I want to thank you both so much, everything you're doing. I've been listening to the podcast in order from the beginning, and I'm not even remotely caught up yet. But maybe I can call back when I turn 41 and let you know how year two went. Thanks again, guys. I'm so grateful. Keep stoking that fire.
Wow, MK, that's amazing. I feel like for her 41st birthday, she should just join us on the show.
Yeah, for real. That's cool. I love that idea, though, actually, of having her call back every year with a quick update, right? Like, wouldn't you just... Actually, the Mad Scientist does this with his podcasts. He winds up... Every year, he has a short episode, and this one was just my third year of retirement. And it's like a little short summation of what's been going on in his life and what major, actually, psychological changes he's kind of undergone. And this voicemail from Elizabeth, it actually reminds me of that. So, Jonathan, $70,000 in pre-tax contributions.
That's a pretty awesome 50% savings rate.
Yeah, that'll work. 8-year path to FI. You know, when their daughter is going to graduate high school, like, and exactly when the husband can take withdrawals. Like, I mean, it could not be better. That's a perfect little glide path. I love that.
Well, we will make sure we get Elizabeth a birthday party invitation to call us again for next year.
Yes,
do that. Our next shout out comes from Nick in the Choose a FI main group. So Nick shared a win that he had with his business, which is exciting because we do have a business owners Choose a FI cohort group as well. But he posted this in the main group and he says, Monday motivation. This is for the rest of you who need a little motivation to start or renew your side hustle. A few years ago, me and my wife started a side hustle, a professional organizing business. The first year was rough. We only had a few clients and just about broke even for the year. After our second year, we were able to pay off $20,000 in consumer debt, freeing us from credit card interest rates and fees. Now in our third year, we just recorded our biggest month ever, July 2019, in which we made $15,000 in 1 month. Side hustles, and any business for that matter, are rarely an overnight success. But if you love what you do and are mindful of how you do it, what you can achieve will always leave you asking why you didn't start sooner. For those of you who are still on the fence about starting a side hustle, I ask, what is your side hustle idea and when will you start?
Nice. Were there a lot of comments on that one?
There's 54 comments. There's 143 likes, loves, or wow faces.
No gifts. No, just kidding.
there may be some gifs.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. Huge congratulations. And Brad, rarely an overnight success. I mean, I think that is at the heart of what he's saying. It's like, it doesn't have to work on day one. Like for you don't, on day two, you don't decide whether or not it was a failure or a success by what happened on day one.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, you need to keep working at things. That's, I can talk about my own life and say, not only were my first initial websites not overnight successes, they were really abject failures by any objective measure, but I don't look at them like that. It was probably 7 years of slog it wasn't fun, it wasn't glamorous, but I learned and I moved forward and I took those lessons. And like you talked about before with your talent stack, is you put together these different little talents. And I was not and am not world class at anything. And I don't look
connect
at that. Well, yeah, maybe kind of
course. You got this, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. But I don't look at that as a negative. I am well above average, probably at a lot of things. And I think by putting those skills together, I was able to carve out what is a successful bunch of small businesses. And also, I mean, frankly, a pretty successful life by looking at what do I get value from? What do I want to do with my time? It's being discerning. And I think a lot of that comes from that slog, and it comes from learning about yourself. It comes from not giving up. That is a huge aspect of success in life, is just simply not giving up. Nick here and his wife, they broke even that first year. A lot of people would say that might not be so great, but to me, that's a big success. If you're not in the hole after the first year of a side hustle and you see the path forward, that's another thing, Jonathan, with my original website, Richmond Savers. It's this tiny, dopey little thing. I was making like a little bit of money every month. That was while working full time. And I could see the path forward. And I think that was the crucial aspect for me, is I had proved it out that it would work for me if I could spend the time and resources that I needed on it. So I proved out that it was a success in my own brain. And I suspect, I don't want to put words in Nick's mouth here, certainly, but I suspect breaking even that first year was that proof that him and his wife needed to know we've got something here. We have to keep working at it.
Yeah, there's a lot there. And I think what's cool about side hustles is everything that you've built, all the work that you put in is still there, and you're building on top of that, right? You've built this foundation. And so if you've got a good foundation, you can improve upon it. And, you know, he was an overnight success, 10 years in the making, right? I mean, I think so many of us look at anybody in any particular field and say, wow, they've got it. But you're seeing the now, you're not seeing the work that they put in behind the scenes. So then the other thing that you said there, Brad, is don't give up. So how do you not give up? Hopefully what we're trying to do with this show is just encourage you not to give up. Don't give up on your financial goals. Don't give up on your creative goals. Don't give up on designing a future that you can get excited about, whether that be tactics, strategies, whether or not it just be encouragement, motivation, and a pat on the back. You know, that's what we're here for, you twice a week. You know, that's what we're trying to do with this show.
Great. And I know for me, that was the same experience I had with my business. So it's so great to share that Nick's seeing this too. He's trying to motivate others. And I think that's the wonderful part of this community that we're building. So speaking of our community, we have some really great updates from our local groups. We have two new local groups, South Denver and Klamath Falls, Oregon. So welcome to the Choosify community, guys. And so our Choosify Los Angeles group, they will still have their regular meetings, but they're going to start organizing a blogging mastermind group to meet with the intent of making it a monthly event. So their first meeting is going to be on August 27th. So if you're in LA, you're part of the local group, or you're thinking of joining the local group and you want to know more about blogging, and just like Nick did, starting out for that overnight success in 10 years with blogging, check that out.
Awesome. And that actually ties to what David was talking about as well in this past week's episode. I mean, one of the ways to really hone and sharpen those digital skills is through the gauntlet of starting a blog.
No, that's very true. And yeah, David said he thinks that starting a blog is a great entry point to prove that you have a skill set. I mean, frankly, it doesn't have to be a blog. I think in this case, it really is the easiest way to get started. I mean, David said his email newsletter and his blog gave him the confidence to write the book, because he was able to experiment, right? He was able to find his voice. And he said that voice is not applicable for everybody, right? He talked about finding his particular audience and he honed in on it. And I thought that was the cool part of it.
Yeah. And actually, he used different verbiage for something that I've said in the past. Take a perceived weakness and reframe it, if not as a strength, as an opportunity. So what's a perceived weakness? Well, nobody knows who I am. Nobody's reading my content. How did he reframe that? What a perfect opportunity for you to hone your craft. When nobody is listening, you can't get anybody to read it. You can learn how to write. You can learn how to structure your website. And then by the time that people do find you, you have a little bit of confidence about you. You have a little bit of practice. You've done this before. You're building your skill set. So there's a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah. And Jonathan, since we mentioned the local groups here a number of times, and MK mentioned the Choosify cohort group, anybody who wants to join their Choosify local group, just head to choosify.com/local, and it'll take you to the list of 200 plus Choosify local groups around the world.
All right. Now, I know one of the things we wanted to mention in this episode was FinCon, Brad. We got FinCon coming up in September, and it's an event that we talk about a lot and we get very excited about. It is a conference for people that are talking about personal finance and their chosen media, whether it be YouTube or podcast or blogs, websites, et cetera. People from all over the world come to this event every year. And I would say increasingly, it's kind of like something that we map our calendar around because we get that much value out of it. MK, we made some plans this time around for our community because so many people from our community are actually going to be at this conference with us.
Yes. So there's going to be a few events going on. On Sunday, September 8th, there will be a local meetup with the Choosify DC group. So look out for details on that. But during FinCon on September 6th, we're really excited to announce that we're going to be hosting a fundraiser. Afford Anything and Choosify are two of the biggest podcasts in the FIRE movement. And they're actually joining together to throw an epic VIP fundraiser for the 501c3 nonprofit Choosify International Foundation. We'll be talking more about the foundation soon, but just know that this is a foundation that spreads the message of financial independence to new communities. So the emphasis is on K-12 financial education and military financial outreach. You'll receive a limited edition commemorative t-shirt, and you'll get to strut the red carpet and take photos with Paula, Brad, and Jonathan. So this is going to be a great event to go to. It goes for a great cause. So tickets are extremely limited. And I know Paula mentioned this on her podcast earlier in the week too. So we are expecting that these will sell out. So go to choosify.com/party or affordanything.com/party and get your tickets today to this event on Friday, September 6th.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Brad, have you ever strutted the red carpet before?
I don't think I've ever strutted in my entire life.
Yes, you have. I've seen it. It's phenomenal. No, but seriously, like this is about the Choosify International Foundation. We're going to be talking about this in a couple weeks, so you'll definitely get all the details there. But we feel like the universe, for whatever reason, has handed us an opportunity to make a lasting impact, potentially to transform, you know, the reach of financial literacy for the next generation, and hopefully to some varying degree for this generation as well. The Choosify podcast reaches people that listen to podcasts, which is a very self-limiting population. But if you want to reach people that need this the most, the underserved, you're going to need to do that in a different capacity. And I think that is what this foundation is all about.
Yeah. I mean, Jonathan, this is the biggest thing we have done to date. And I think it really is the project that we're going to spend our entire lives on. That is what the foundation means to us. And this is the launch party for the foundation. So yeah, it's Friday, September 6th. You don't have to be attending FinCon. If you live in the DC area, or as Jonathan likes to say, within a 6-hour drive.
Just a quick 6-hour drive.
We would love to have you here. So this is a fundraiser for kicking off this foundation. And we genuinely think that this foundation can make a significant dent in the world and can bring incredible, this knowledge of financial independence that all of us share. This is not about Brad and Jonathan. This is not about the name Choosify. This is about spreading this message and taking this community that we've all built together. 200 local groups. That's not about Brad and Jonathan. That's about the people in Edinburgh who are getting together for a meetup, in Maui, in Sydney, everywhere across the world. It's about you taking all of those people and coming together for a common cause. And that's what we believe this foundation is. So that's why we're spending time raising money for this. That's why we're spending time putting together this curriculum that our educators group have spent nearly 2 years on. So we can get this live in schools. So we can get this live at military bases across the world. Who knows where it's going to go from there? Jonathan, we are at the outset of this. We have no idea where it's going to go, but I can tell you, we have an incredibly talented and dedicated set of directors of this foundation, amongst which Paula Pan is one of them. And we are just so excited about launching this. We're excited about having you join us. So yeah, as Jonathan said, choosify.com/party.
I love how party is the call to action. How about kickoff?
Kickoff would be better.
We'll make them both work. Can we just make them both work? If you want a party, go to choosify.com/party. If you want to help us kick off the foundation, you can do that too. choosify.com/kickoff. We'll look forward to seeing you there. Unfortunately, I think that's going to bring this episode to a close. Now, as you know, we'd like to finish every episode, or at least every Friday roundup, by doing a drawing for a copy of a book that we have found useful. There's three books that we offer. The first is J.L. Collins' book, The Simple Path to Wealth. The second is Dominic Cortuccio's book, Design Your Future. And the third book from Vincent Puglisi, Freelance to Freedom. If you want to enter the drawing, all you need to do is just go to chooseify.com/iTunes, follow the instructions there, leave us a short written review, and then send us an email to feedback@chooseify.com, letting us know that you left a review and what screen name you left it under. We give away one book for every five written reviews that we get, and we announce the winner on the Friday roundup. So MK, how many winners do we have today?
So today we have two winners. The first is from James. He says, I binged this entire podcast in 3 months and gained a ton of insight. I already knew a lot of the basics, but the more I listened, the more I've been able to optimize and fine-tune my FI plan. The guests are interesting and creative and help you start analyzing and improving your life. Thanks to them, I gained access to a great community and have benefited greatly from a large group of extremely smart people. Keep up the good work.
And MK, the second winner, I believe, is Megan on Stitcher.
Yes. So Megan says, life-changing. For the first time ever, I now don't feel so isolated. My husband and I have never felt the need to be flashy or live up to any standard. Our friends live on perpetual credit and can't relate to our lifestyle choices. I stumbled upon Chooseify when I saw Brad present at a webcast event. I am so glad I did. I have learned so much from their amazing podcasts. My husband and I now have an achievable goal to work towards, and a huge thank you to Brad, Jonathan, and their guest speakers for helping us move towards this goal.
You know, Brad, I love that on these reviews, how many people say that the content for them has been life-changing. Like the subject line, life-changing, shows up hundreds and hundreds of times. People saying, this information, this idea, this framework for my life has transformed it. I can't unsee it. It's that powerful. And I think that is why we feel so compelled. It's not easy making two shows a week, 2 hour long shows a week, bringing this content together. You know, it's not easy, right? But it's worth it.
It certainly is worth it. And yeah, it's not easy at all. But man, coming back from vacation and having a recording session the next morning, it's not easy. But man, does it feel good to be back here, back doing what we love doing, which is putting the show together for our community. It's all about the community.
All right, my friends, the fire is spreading. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth one life hack at a time.